Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So let's dive in.
I
want to start because I love in the beginning she lays out like her dream plan from ages 20 to 29.
Yes.
She's like, yeah. I want to be doing this and I'll be married by this age and that page. Did you have one of those? And like, do you remember what it was? And like, where are you at on it now?
I had a new one every day. I wanted to be a horse trainer. I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to be a dermatologist. I wanted to be a trophy wife. I wanted to be all kinds of things. That my career moved all over the place.
All over.
Mm-hmm. And as soon as I saw Sex and the City, I wanted to be Samantha. And that stuck for a while.
Okay. PR. You studied PR, didn't you?
That was my major. Public relations.
Oh,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I was Samantha until very recently.
I was about to say, you were very, have a lot of Samanthisms.
Mm-hmm.
And then did you similar, like, I want to be married by this age. I want to have kids. My first
kid
by
1,000%.
Kid by this.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Especially from Craziness. Where we went to school. I said by the 27 that I was going to have a baby, married, and on my way to renting out a beach house for the summer.
By 27?
By a 27-year-old black woman. What the
that
fuck?
That's very ambitious.
Knowing I couldn't do math. Knowing good and well I could not do math or science. That is the only path where a black woman can get to a beach house by 27. Or
27. You know, you gotta be an engineer or something.
An engineer, a doctor, or you go the Porsche route. Okay, the Kenya route.
Or that.
Find yourself a rich African. Nobody in these rich African streets.
Find you a rich African.
Yep. But yeah, ridiculous. Oh, wow. Absolutely absurd. So, I would love to write mine because I think they'd be fun and it would take up like at least 30 pages. So what about you? Did you have plans like that? You probably did.
Definitely. I mean, career wise, I mean, we all had these impossible, ridiculous things. Career wise, I always, for most of my life, it was like communications, journalism, film, TV, entertainment, like something within that realm.
Mm-hmm.
Senior year is when I like veered off and I was like, fuck this, I'm doing education instead.
But
career wise, it never changed too much. It was always like writing, communications, something in that media. But then, in terms of like life plans, like kids, marriage, all that stuff, it's so funny when you look at 32 now, still unwed, like looking back at the impossible.
Still unwed
like,
and
shit.
Happy about it.
I'm and happy
fine.
About it. Yes. I think, it was like married by 27, first kid by 29, like something like that. Definitely sound like by 30, I wanted to already have a kid, like something.
Oh, already a mom.
And at 32, I'm still trying to, I still barely like kids. I mean, like, better you have one or two. We working on it. But yeah, I loved her kind of like laying that out just because I know off rip everybody has something like that. To see how it just like goes awry, it's hilarious. But yeah, let's talk about her upbringing.
Yes, her childhood, which had entirely too many parallels to my own. I thought it was really interesting how she talked about her relation to Black culture within the Black spaces that she had to be voluntarily put in versus mm-hmm. the white spaces that she had to be in, like school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely where I saw alignment between her childhood and mine, where there was a part where she talked about how her parents enrolled her in track, mm-hmm. like specifically mm-hmm. to meet Black people, and mm-hmm. her dad, you know, builds mental strength or whatever, but mm-hmm. literally did the same. My mom signed mm-hmm. us up for track. There was a track club in
the town.
I'll say where. Not in my town, definitely not in a white town.
I was gonna say, okay.
He joins like a Black youth track club.
Yeah,
I did praise dance. She talked about she did praise dance. I did praise dance.
Same liturgical dancing. Yes.
Liturgical dance. Mm-hmm, yep. Mm-hmm. A lot of my extracurriculars were strategically in the inner city.
Yeah,
where mm-hmm. both my parents work, so convenient for them. Mm, but then also, they want us to have that. Kind of like touch point, because where we were living was super white, school was super white. So mm-hmm. any options that they have for us to interact with non-white students or mm-hmm. non-white people, you know, my parents were very intentional about making that a part of our upbringing. So it was mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. interesting to see that her parents literally did the same track and praise dance. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I was in both of those. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Yes. I was in praise dance, lots of church activities, and I actually did track to lose weight, which was not the same, but
a little different.
All kinds, anything extracurricular that I could do with the Black people in my town, I did, because I went to entirely too long. Jody, bleep out the school.
Yeah, thanks.
We're not ready to come for them yet, but bleep out the school. And one of the sentences or pages that I thought she encapsulated so well was on page 18. She says, a major part of my transformation from the awkward duckling to the cool chick was the development of my racial identity. And relating to being cool in a white space and almost not accepted in the Black spaces, that mm-hmm. dichotomy of identity I related to a lot. There was a lot of even when I went to like camp and stuff, and mm-hmm. when I said that I was in Jack and Jill, or I said that I went to private school, it was like, oh god, here's the fuck mm-hmm. she goes. Mm-hmm. And especially because of the socioeconomic status I had growing up too, I could mm-hmm. definitely relate to all of these things, because mm-hmm. it's very confusing.
Mm-hmm. It's a very particular experience of mm-hmm. some Black people. Some Black people grow up in mostly Black spaces mm-hmm. and then go off and then encounter whiteness, like in college, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Our upbringing, along with Rachel, was primarily in white spaces mm-hmm. and intentionally put into Black spaces mm-hmm. by our parents for, mm-hmm. you know, access and just access to other Black people, and then having to then exist in two spaces, a mm-hmm. white space from like Monday through Friday until mm-hmm. 3 p.m. and then a Black space, and having to fit in both and fit in the Black space. Even just saying that sounds odd, but you're a different kind of Black when you go into the Black space with mostly Black kids who are growing mm-hmm. up with other Black kids.
Mm-hmm.
They sniff you out already by the way you talk, the way you look, the way you dress, the school you're coming from as different.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that trying to fit in, like I heard, definitely felt her when she was talking about like just the struggle of trying to fit in with the Black kids at her school or wherever it was that she was at.
Yeah, whatever extracurricular she was doing.
Extracurricular, I definitely had that experience in college, in my college, where the Black kids, I lived in the Black, quote unquote, the Black dorms, like the historical mm-hmm. Black dorm. And my freshman year, most of the freshmen had all met each other over the summer. There was like some summer break.
Yeah.
They all knew each other. I missed that. I was on vacation with my family. So I come in freshman year.
Even that excuse as itself. I was on vacation with my family.
But even still, because most of those Black kids were also from private school.
Your school?
So maybe Summer Bridge is even the right term. It was like some summer opt-in program that they could do. Not like a typical, let's help the Black kids, give them remedial classes type of thing. Like,
One
of those.
Okay.
But yeah, I was on summer vacation. Missed that. Mm-hmm. Came in. Everybody was clicky. Everybody knew each other. Everybody had friends, whatever, whatever. And I felt like such an outsider, such a fish out of water, so kind of like rejected in a way. Mm-hmm. And not so much about like my blackness was different from theirs or whatever. I just didn't feel like a warmth or openness. Mm-hmm. So then mm-hmm. I ended up making a friend who lived in the white dorms, or not the mm-hmm. white dorms, lived in the regular dorms, the non-black.
That's segregation, girl.
I know. She lived in just where most freshmen lived, and mm-hmm. I chose to live in the like historical black dorm. Mm-hmm. And start hanging out with her instead and just going with her parties or whatever, because mm-hmm. I literally felt kind of like rejected by mm-hmm. the students, the black students primarily at the dorm that we were living in. Mm-hmm. So that kind of like when she was talking about her, I was like, ooh, triggered, because went through this mm-hmm. mm-hmm. where it's like your own people, you trying to like tap dance and get them to notice you or care mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they don't. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
I also.
Go ahead.
No, I loved how she. I wrote this down. She spent.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which you know is very nice. Important to me.
Uh-huh.
But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, mm-hmm. especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R. 1,260 hours per yes. year steeped in whiteness.
Yes.
And that was like the hours of the school day or whatever.
Yeah.
I love how she put that, because I don't want to say I'm an expert on white people, but I think I'm an expert on white people.
I would say you're an expert on white people.
We spent a lot of time around uh-huh. white people growing uh-huh. up uh-huh. in my day-to-day, my extracurricular, and everything. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I feel like Rachel Lindsay, along with me and you, along with mm-hmm. a lot of black people who have a lot to say about whiteness, mm-hmm. our lived experience is being steeped in yep. whiteness,
yep.
growing up specifically around white people.
Mm-hmm.
I know a little bit of a thing or two about mm-hmm. whiteness, white people, and all of that. So I just loved mm-hmm. how she calculated that, because I was like, yes, mm-hmm. it is true. We spend a mm-hmm. lot of time. We are experts. We yeah. know them through yep. and through.
Yep.
Oh, God. Sorry, I just wanted to call that out.
No, that's true. And even thinking right? about it, like, we know a lot about, because of where we went to school, white womanhood, mm-hmm. how mm-hmm. it relates to race. No matter if you are black, biracial, a quarter, a fifth, it don't matter. Mm-hmm. White people will let you know when you're not white. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that us three that we have in common as darker skinned Black women normally wouldn't know about if we weren't in these arenas with where white wealth was at the top. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But because of where we went to school, then we know.
Where we live, yep.
Yep. And she had a lot in here about Jack and Jill, which I loved.
I was about to say, let's get to it.
Yes.
As she called it the country club for Black people, which is honestly probably how I too would describe it.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not, so you grew up in Jack and Jill, so you can speak very much to it. Mm-hmm. I spent about a month in Jack and Jill before my mom said, this is not for me, and took us out. And she too was like, I can't relate with these people. I don't know. I gotta go.
Yeah.
So that's how, I would describe it as country club for Black people. That was the feeling I got from it. But as someone who grew up in Jack and Jill, what were your thoughts of how she described it and her experience and how yours was?
I loved how she described it because I think a lot of Black people who join initially or who know a lot of the negative history and negative connotations about Jack and Jill are not wrong, but also don't have the full story, right? It is not incorrect that Jack and Jill did the paper bag test. That is not wrong. Mm. It is not wrong that you have to pay dues and you have to afford to be around certain kinds of people. That's not wrong either. Mm-hmm. But what is the history of Jack and Jill is that it is African-American people coming together to salvage part of a tribal culture that has been ripped from us from slavery and segregation. Mm-hmm. And she said on page 27, let's just say this is a whole different look for an organization that began organizing swimming parties for their children because segregation in the late 30s banned them from public pools. Mm-hmm. So the original point of Jack and Jill was to create community amongst Black people in whiter spaces.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't have that context when they talk about Jack and Jill.
Yeah.
Which is not
and the history behind it.
And the history, yeah, the point of it, the original point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's, because I hear the history and the, like the original, I guess, intention behind it. Mm-hmm. But when I think of Jack and Jill, I do think I think exclusivity. Mm-hmm. I don't think inclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
I think when she said country club, I was like, I think of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, there's a certain kind of Black who, as you said, can afford the dues and can relate to the things they're talking about and do you feel that like that that's kind of come to the forefront now and the intention of it has gotten lost?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. I think because of probably the people who come out of it and the other organizations that it's affiliated with, right? The overlap of Jack and Jill sorority and the Lynx is one long thread, right? Like the young whatever club, I forget what they're called, but those are definitely all relatable. And she talks about Jack and Jill's Black being above other people's Black, other Black's Black. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true. I think Jack and Jill was originated. I joined Jack and Jill when I was 3 years old because my parents didn't have BET in the house because of the town we lived in. That's why we joined Jack and Jill. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't know it that way. A lot of people, and rightfully so. I'm not saying they're wrong. They're not.
Right.
They're not wrong.
That's what to say.
Yeah, they're not wrong. They're not. Yeah. But I do think it had a lot of positives to it. I saw a lot of very strong Black like two-parent households. I saw mostly Black two-parent households growing
households.
That is a very rare upbringing for Black people in this country. And that's a really nice thing to have.
And to see, I think, as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be around. Is so, this is maybe a tangent. To be in Jack and Jill, do you have to come from a two-parent household?
No. It's a mother's organization. So, no. You just have to have a Black mom, which is a whole other thing.
Oh, Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was really interesting reading her experience because you could tell she was in it, but then also she has like a different view of it now looking back at it. And I think she was trying to talk about like the original great intentions, but like kind of where it is now. Mm-hmm. My experience, as I said, I was in it for a month, maybe 3 months. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the benefits are you get to have your kid around other Black kids. Mm-hmm. It's great networking, I would say, for the parents as well, mm-hmm. for the students mm-hmm. as well, or for the kids as well, just mm-hmm. broadening their network. Mm-hmm. I think my mom's issue with it, mine as well, which Rachel also talks about in the book, is like the bougie-ness, mm-hmm. the bouge, mm-hmm. this kind of like, I've arrived, I'm a different kind of Black. We talk different. We act different.
Yep.
That.
Yep.
My mom for damn sure could not get around.
That overshadows it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, which definitely overshadowed the experience. And I remember feeling that too, and feeling like, this feels different from like other things that we've been mm-hmm. a part of. Do we need to be a part of this? And my mom, mm-hmm. yeah, that'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm so curious. Also, because we only know a specific Jack and Jill from mm-hmm. North New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Please email 2BlackGirls1Rose if you're in any other area of the country and you've been a part of Jack and Jill, or like me, your family kind of dabbled in it, or mm-hmm. if you're someone who you're Black, but you would not qualify, quote unquote, for Jack and Jill, meaning the dues, like,
oh yeah, oh the... we unqualified towards the very end of my tenure at Jack mm-hmm. and Jill. We started to unqualify, and that started to get weird and ugly and funky.
Really? Uh-huh.
oh yeah mm-hmm.
That's so mm-hmm. sad to me, because it's something that's supposed to be bringing people together and kind of bring the society among Blackness and Black people. But
people are people. White people do the same thing. People are people. So and we're in a capitalist society also. So if you can't pay the dues, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah. Which does suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just creates like division, I guess, even within already like divided pockets of people.
Yes, but then on the other side of it, just real quick, because I know we've been mm-hmm. talking about this for a while, like for me, let's say in my grade at the school that we went to, there's no way I could have been in like student government. Nobody would have voted for me. The way those mm-hmm. bitches were working, nobody would have mm-hmm. voted for me. Mm-hmm. But in Jack and Jill, I could like hold a leadership position in something,
mm-hmm.
you know, like there, mm-hmm. I could, it was basically our prom doing a Jack and Jill like weekend long event. We moved mm-hmm. our prom so that the girls in my grade could go to a Jack and Jill event.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really important to us. And I think it just depends on, and you were one grade above me. Mm-hmm. If I was in your grade, I may feel differently about my upbringing in Jack and Jill, but because of where I was, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
I found it very necessary when I grew up.
And the lack of inclusion you felt at your own school, it's like you needed that outside
organization. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even that outside organization, there is a barrier to entry.
Yeah, yes. Even to that. Yes.
Hey guys, that's a little taste of this week's lifestyle episode. If you want to hear the full episode and get more lifestyle content,
join our You Ain't Half Bad tier at patreon.com/2BlackGirls1Rose. See you next week.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.